Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Yeah, financial curse is something that is carried over from previous generations that really stifles the wealth building process.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/cdspecials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
Financial generational curses can be at the heart of so many of your money stories and play a huge huge role in the money decisions you make. Maybe in your family, there's been some hard circumstances around money for generations, and you just haven't been able to build the wealth you've wanted to. Or maybe you felt like you made some of the same money mistakes over and over and over again. Look, no matter what your story is, these financial curses can leave you feeling stuck and shameful until now. Our guest, Cassandra Cummings, founder of the Stocks and Stilettos Society and author of Fearless Finances, says it is time to flip the switch on financial curses and money mistakes and focus on what you've learned instead.
What have you learned from this mistake? What have you learned from maybe this misstep that you've had with money? Okay, you've learned that lesson. Leave the shame behind so that you can move forward.
I've been a big fan of Cassandra's for some time now. I know you're going to be too after you hear this episode. We're exploring what a financial curse is, how to break financial curses so you can start investing and building wealth, key investing advice for Black women, why Black investors come with a different set of sensibilities around money than other cultures, and then we're going to round it out with ways to develop confidence around money. Let's start talking.
You are going to be the best thing to ever happen to your money. And so if you take that and really embody it, no one's going to take care of your money the way that you are.
We're going to talk about today this idea of financial generational curses. And I know that can be at the heart of so many of our money stories. So I really want to dig in a little bit. Mm-hmm. You are on this mission. It drives everything that you do. You want to help more women that look like you. Really close the race, gender, and more importantly, investment gaps that really exist. You also want to help people break these generational financial curses and really learn how money works. You've got this new book called Fearless Finances, so we're going to dive into all of that too. But before we do, you know, walk us through, Cassandra, like, what is a financial curse? How does it impact us growing our wealth?
Yeah, financial curse is something that is carried over from previous generations that really stifles the wealth building process. And so it can definitely be a hindrance to where you may want to go financially without you not really truly understanding what's blocking you. And so that blockage sometimes can be a financial generational curse.
Tell me a little bit about, like, what do these look like? What does a, you know, financial generational curse, like, how do we recognize what that is?
So it could be something as simple as spending habits. It could be as simple as not necessarily having knowledge about how systems work in terms of finances. It could be basically where you're sort of feeling trapped, if you will. So, you know, how to get unstuck when you're feeling like you can't really maneuver these financial systems. And so that's kind of what they can look like. Me, myself, I was just talking to a friend the other day about a financial curse of mine. And it is this whole notion of moving a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that can, I didn't know this at the time, but that could indirectly impact your credit score. If you have a number of addresses that are being reported on your credit report, it just looks really bad from a consumer standpoint that you're always moving around. And so that little thing is a financial curse because that was something that I grew up with. My mom moved us all the time. And so it's very difficult to understand. It was very difficult at that time to understand, like, why do I have all of these addresses on here, which in fact was, you know, negatively impacting my credit score.
It's interesting because, yeah, you wouldn't normally think the two things really like correlate to each other. But, you know, as you're sharing that story, I'm thinking about my husband who moved a lot when he was a kid too. And even just how that shows up in the way he looks at money and kind of, I don't know, just kind of moves in the world. It's very different from my experience where I really only moved, I think maybe two times when I was a kid. And just, you know, I had that level of stability that, you know, maybe I took for granted, but I can see how that shows up just in how, you know, someone operates with their money, and you're not even thinking that that is a hindrance, but it actually is there. So, you know, once we realize some of these curses, or maybe some of these things that are blocking us, how do we move through those so that we can actually like start to create some level of ease or change or whatever that might be in our own situation?
I think the first thing is that you really truly have to get a money team. I talk about that in my book, Fearless Finances, because it's very difficult to overcome some of these curses on your own. So just having this conversation with my friend who is highly recognized as a credit consultant, just having this conversation with her really unveiled that one little thing about credit with me. And so I think if you get a money team, whether that be a really good CPA, a really good financial advisor, an attorney, it could also be a really good insurance person. So all of these people play a factor in helping you overcome some of these generational curses and moving beyond that so that you can actually get to where you want to be financially. I think also too, just getting inside of good communities. I was just talking to another friend of mine, and she said what helped her to reach FIRE was being a part of Bogleheads, which was John Bogle's group, who was the founder of Vanguard.
Yeah. And so just that seems like a nice group to be involved with.
Yeah. So just being in that community and seeing how others were achieving FIRE helped her really put her plan in motion to achieve FIRE, because no one in her family, in her background, had achieved FIRE. So being around people who have actually done it helped her to accelerate that process.
How do you find the people to be in your money team? Like, how do you find people that are going to, you know, have your best interests at heart and really help you, you know, break these financial curses and move ahead?
Yeah, I think there's two ways that you can find it. The first way is by trial and error, right? So you can call up someone, look up someone, and just see if, you know, if that person eventually works out for you. That's probably the harder way to go, right? Because you're just combing through so many different people, so many different personalities. I think the best way to do it is by word of mouth. And so if you have someone that you admire from a financial standpoint, I would just ask them, like, hey, who are you using for, you know, your insurance policies, or who are you using as your CPA? Do you like that person? So really interviewing and almost on the verge of interrogating that person. Right.
I like that word. I like that right? word. Because right? they're working right. for you, right?
Yes. So, yeah. And like, you know, so you can kind of get the gist of, does this person have a CPA that they really admire? This person has really gone to bat for them in terms of, you know, fighting the IRS or really using the tax code to their advantage? Or do they say, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call this person, but I may, you know, I have heard of someone else you might want to look into.
I like that, right? And what I love about that advice is that I think so often when we're talking to people, whether it's a financial advisor or an attorney, we can easily feel like, I don't know, almost ashamed yeah. of our money situation, of our mistakes, of where we have been. And, you know, we can really feel like we're not in, you know, a power place to ask those questions that are really important. And so I love that you're, you know, encouraging us to do so, right?
Yeah, it leaves you very vulnerable, right? Anytime that you are talking about money, especially when it comes to women, because women already have fear typically around money. And so to really kind of expose yourself to someone who is much more knowledgeable about you, about these different concepts or topics, it really leaves you in a very vulnerable state. And so it's very difficult for you to maybe open up to someone and say, hey, this is my situation. I really want help. I think also too, people have a hard time asking for help as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about shame and how shame is such a big generational financial curse. And really, in particular for women, you know, how do you see shame show up?
Yeah, it just made me think of this great quote from my money mentor, or she's more like a financial auntie in my head. Her name is Sandra Davis. And so Sandra says, learn the lesson, leave the shame. And so what have you learned from this mistake? What have you learned from maybe this misstep that you've had with money? Okay, you've learned that lesson, leave the shame behind so that you can move forward. So shame often, again, shows up as fear, right? We don't want to tell anyone that we made this mistake. We don't want to really expose ourselves because we may feel like we're being graded. And
yes,
so this whole system of being graded, like I'm going to get an F on budgeting. I'm going to get an F on how I manage my credit card debt. So no one wants to get an F, a C minus for that matter, in money management, right?
1,000%. You're talking to a perfectionist herself, very, you know, type A, will fully admit. And if I can't get, you know, the equivalent of an A in everything, I have a really hard time. Like I really struggle. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's been very therapeutic for me as a non-practicing anymore certified financial planner. I used to work with people, but you know, it's been really therapeutic for me to see how many people I would sit down with and they would say to me like, I'm so embarrassed. Like I can't tell you that I've made this mistake, or I'm so, you know, embarrassed to talk about this. And it's people even that you would like on the outside think have it all together. Yeah. And so it was like very humbling for me to realize that A, my own mistakes are not unique and original, and I don't have to be shameful, but also that all of us walk around feeling this way, like feeling we're trapped in these bubbles of shame and guilt and regret, mm-hmm. and all these emotions around money. And I love, you know, what you're talking about too, is that a lot of that can be passed down to us from mm-hmm. generations. And sometimes we don't even know why we're walking mm-hmm. around with, you know, all of these feelings about money, but they're there.
Right, right. I mean, the same thing applies to me with cooking. Like I feel like I get A's in everything, but I definitely get like a D in cooking. I was just talking about this, how, you know, I'm trying to watch these YouTube videos and do this and do that. And it's like, this is what theirs looks like. And this is what mine looks like. And it's getting ready to go to the trash. So I understand when people come and they feel shameful about money, because I feel the same way about cooking.
Well, I love to cook, so I will happily give you a cooking demo any day. But I understand what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, many things in my life where, yeah, they're not exactly, I'm definitely not going to get a perfect score for sure.
Right, right.
And, you know, one of the things you talk about is that Black investors, they come with this also like a different set of sensibilities, you call it, around money than other cultures. And I want to spend some time talking about this because this is really sure. important. You know, what do you think are some of the key pieces of investing advice for Black women to really start building wealth? And you know, I guess to kind of, you know, beat the system at its own game, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think first and foremost, they have to prioritize it. I think that as Black women, we have so many competing priorities. I think just people in general, right? And so oftentimes money gets put on the back burner and they kick the can down the road and say, I'm going to get to that later. I'm going to get to that later because I have my children, I have my husband, I have my sorority, I have my church, work. All of these things come before they actually spend some time really evaluating where they are financially and really taking that time to invest in putting a plan together. And so they shy away from that because it requires work. It's not a very easy process because, again, it's going to expose vulnerabilities around money for you. I think also, too, again, I just can't stress enough how important it is to get around like-minded people. That will definitely move the needle for you. And if you're embarrassed or shameful about your money situation, it's going to take a lot for you to start to open up to others around your money concerns, your embarrassment around money. But I think just really getting into that community, and then you'll get to see firsthand what some people are doing. Like maybe they are clipping coupons. Maybe they're not clipping coupons. Maybe they've opened up a Roth IRA. Maybe they're maxing out their Roth IRA and they're showing you how you can also max out your Roth IRA. But I think as Black women, we definitely have to make it a priority. We have to become educated because a lot of us are first generation A, B, C, D, E, F, you know, so we don't have a lot of those, how can I put it, parent privileges.
Right. Okay.
That other cultures have. We're really kind of starting from scratch. And so it's really important that we really beef up our knowledge, increase our competency around money, if you will.
You talked about this idea too of needing a plan. You know, what does an investing plan look like?
So an investing plan is going to pretty much be like A to Z, where you are now, where you want to go. So if you want to retire, let's just say you want to retire at 55. Now you start with the begin in mind and you know, I need to have X amount of dollars that's going to generate an 8% return for the next.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
40 years or so, right?
Possibly. Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah, 40 years. And so what do my investments need to do now during my accumulation phase? And then what do my investments need to look like when I get to my distribution phase at 55? So the investment plan is really designed to show where you are now, where you want to be, and then what's that going to look like once you actually arrive to that destination.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
And why are we, as I'm specifically speaking about women, why are we so nervous about investing? Is it just that we have been told for so many years that, you know, we're not good with money, that we're not the ones that should be investing, and that fear is kind of, you know, it carried through generations? I don't know. What do you see? Why are we as women, you know, kind of lagging when it comes to investing?
I think a couple of things. I think that women's empowerment is just taken off. It's sort of a new concept, right? In the 60s and early 70s, the man pretty much handled all of the finances. And so we were really unaccustomed to really dealing with money, navigating this whole terrain around finances. And so it's still a relatively new concept to women. I think also, you know, in that same vein, women weren't able to buy property. Women weren't able to do a lot of things without the consent of their husbands.
Have a credit card.
I mean, so just little things. open a bank account, right, without having your husband there with you. And so those things kind of stifled how, you know, women progress with money. I think another thing with women and money is that we really, you know, we, it's called like the four D's, right? We've got deflect, which means we're going to give that responsibility to our husband. We've got divorce, you know, 50% plus divorce rate. We've got death. So we've got those things working against us. And at some point we have to be able to learn how to manage money because it's going to come back to us in some form or fashion where we have to be comfortable with how money works.
Yeah. In your new book, Fearless Finances, in the intro, you write that many women have a hard time articulating what they want when it comes to money. I really love that statement. It really stood out to me. Yeah. How do we develop, I guess, the language and the confidence to figure out what we want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's the exposure. The exposure is key. So I think, again, in these communities like the Stocks and Stiletto Society, you start to build up the acumen that's needed to really speak that language of money. So we have women that come in and they're like, what's a ticker symbol? You know, what's price to earnings ratio? And so we teach them these concepts. We teach these, we teach this vernacular so that they can actually be confident when they sit across the table from a financial professional. And it's so heartwarming. I just had someone in my community say they had a meeting with their financial advisor and they knew all the questions that they should ask.
Yeah. And so, I love that.
I mean, that's huge confidence builder because now you're not sitting across the table like a deer in the headlights saying, okay. Right.
Just and then walking nice. Away going like, I have no idea what they just said. Yeah,
exactly. This person was speaking like, Arabic to me.
Yeah. And I would imagine that so much of the confidence, right, it comes from knowing the language because in the world of money, there are so many acronyms and big words and things that are just thrown out that can really make you feel scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, again, going to a country and they're speaking a different language and you have no idea and you just want to go to the restroom, right? show me the restroom. Like, it's urgent. And then like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I've probably been there, done that for sure.
right.
Well, speaking of heartwarming and changes, I know that you've gone through quite a change in your own life. You grew up on welfare. I knew you had a teenage mom and that you really felt kind of ashamed of your beginnings around mm-hmm. money, but you've been able to really move through some of your own limiting beliefs around money. Tell us about that journey and that process of going through those hard times and kind of coming out the other end.
Yeah. You know, when I was younger, it was definitely a lot of embarrassment about, you know, just like my family structure. And so it was somewhat common in my environment coming up. But at the same time, as I started to move outside of my environment, I was saying, this is definitely uncommon for the different areas that I was moving into. For instance, when I went to college, I started to see I started to see a different normal, if you will. And so, again, I think getting around people who were very mindful, people who were very sensitive to that, and people who were compassionate and willing to show me different things. Even though I had a financial advisor early on because my dad left me a life insurance policy, she was willing to take the time to at least sort of educate me on some certain things. And so I had to sort of take it to the next level. I talk about that in some regard about the financial advisor, but I wish I had known to do my own research ahead of time. Because, you know, I think that I would have gotten a lot more out of our meetings. I would have been able to, you know, maybe direct her choices a little better. But I was still very fairly young. And then moving into corporate America, again, I got to see different ways in which people used money, how they used other people's money to really grow and scale their businesses. And so, again, at each stop, I was very intentional on what can I get out of this, you know, this opportunity, and how is that going to move me to my next financial level? So that was actually really key too.
Yeah. And how important was that life insurance policy? I bet that was like a game changer for you.
It was definitely a game changer. But it was also very difficult at the same time, right? Because I was still fairly young. I was only 18. And to get so much money so soon, coming from my environment, I was not equipped to really understand the magnitude of what I had available to me at that time. And I didn't have good people around me. So I only had my family, and, you know, they had a different relationship with money as well. So yeah, it was bittersweet, if you will.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I had someone on the show a couple months ago, and they were talking about, we were talking about trauma around money and how something that to the outside world feels like a blessing to get a life insurance policy when a loved one passes on, to have them, you know, have thought about you ahead of time and set that up, how it can actually manifest as trauma in you, because, you know, it sort of feels a little bit, she used this word like blood money, that, you know, you're inheriting this money. You'd rather have the person than the money. And then you don't know what to do with the money and how to spend the money. And like, it just gets so complicated, you know, in your head that you just, you know, especially for women, she was saying that, you know, a lot of women just kind of sit on these inheritances and don't know what to do because there's trauma and shame and like every emotion around money in a time when, you know, you would think that maybe having extra money would be helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would have given that check back in a heartbeat to have my dad here today. You know, it wasn't worth it. You know, if I had to choose. But not only that, I think too, it was how people started to react to me knowing that I had this money.
Ooh, yeah.
So there were other, you know, so the money didn't necessarily change me. It was the people who were around me that changed. And because they were changing, I had to change. And so, yeah, it just became very challenging at that time. And to deal with all of that at 18 was, you know, it was very difficult.
Yeah, I cannot even imagine.
yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your book, Fearless Finances.
Yes.
Because I know that's something you're super proud of. And I love this idea of having fearless finances. You know, we talked about investing. We talked about, you know, these financial generational curses that come up. But what are some of the other key pieces that go into us having fearless finances? When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I talk about this because I was sort of jogging my memory about different things that I was fearful about that I had to really push through. And one of them was that I didn't start the home buying process early enough. I remember my financial advisor, when I inherited the money, I was like, oh, I should buy a piece of property. And she said, oh, well, you don't have any income. Right?
Right.
And so at that time,
but I have this check.
I had enough money to pay cash for a condo at a minimum. Right?
Right.
So I could have bought a condo outright and that would have started my home buying process. I think also, too, fear set in when I was in L.A., and I had an opportunity to buy a townhome near the Forum.
Yeah.
And so, again, fear set in because, again, I was accustomed to moving around. And I told my friend, I don't want to grow roots here.
Interesting.
But had I bought that condo when I was maybe like 27 or that townhome when I was 27, I mean, that would have really started my wealth building journey much, much sooner. So at 23, 24, I could have paid cash for a condo. 27-ish, I could have bought a townhome in LA. Then I go to Houston. So, you know, Houston, I could have bought a brand new home. But this home, you know, just the fear really set me back. And so in the book, I really tried to share some of my personal stories so that people don't make those same mistakes or don't allow fear to waste time and money for them.
I like that a lot because I think it's, you know, it's so interesting to hear you talk about financial advisors, you know, being a former practicing one myself. I always get just really frustrated when I hear stories like that because, you know, your job as a financial advisor is really to look at the client, the human, the person in front of you, and look at what would be best for them and their situation and take all of your bias out of the conversation. And so many people have these stories that, like your story, where that didn't really happen for whatever reason. And, you know, I think what you're sharing is really important because wherever you are, whoever you're listening, you know, that's listening right now, wherever you are on your money journey, there's going to be these decisions that you need to make kind of along the way. And the older we get, the more of us that will be inheriting, you know, some money along the way. And, you know, to really think through, like, what is right for me and my situation? Like, get the advice, get mm-hmm. you know, the professional opinion, but then also sit with, you know, what is right for me? And sometimes those decisions might be different from the advice you're getting, and that's okay, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm thinking that's the message you want people to receive.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm also a financial advisor. I'm an RIA. And so I think had I known earlier on the difference between, say, a regular financial advisor and one that is a fiduciary, that would have definitely led me to say, hey, I really appreciate you showing up with this check, but I really have to find someone else. I just took what was given to me. And that could also be an instance of fear, because I just took what that person was presenting and I didn't say, you know what, this is great. Let me go and actually see about getting a second opinion. But I had all the ability to do that. I probably just didn't know to do that at the time.
Of course not. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and so many people in your situation, no matter what age they are, you know, are kind of along that same thinking. Well, I want to transition just a little bit, talk about 2023. We were talking about investing before, you know, and I think everyone's big question is, you know, what's going on in the market and what should I be doing in 2023? What advice do you have for us?
Yeah, 2023 is going to be quite volatile, I will say.
I feel like we need like a dun-dun-dun or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be quite the roller coaster ride. I mean, it's like today, the stock market is rallying. You know, we've got a lot of economic announcements on the horizons. We got on the horizon, we have Fed rates being tinkered with. We have, you know, an election coming up towards the latter part of the year. So we have a lot of things that are really going to keep the market moving erratically this year. And so my advice would be to buckle up and, you know, hold in tightly to your investment plan. And so I would make, you know, sudden changes. I would also look for dips and buy the dips, right? You hear that a lot in the market. And so you want to be cognizant of that because there are going to be a lot of opportunities for you to buy things on sale in the market. And so I like to say cash is queen. So keep your cash over to the side because there's going to be ample buying opportunity this year.
And so what's so great about what you're saying, when you're saying, you know, buckle up your seatbelt, it's going to be a little bumpy, but you're also saying that there's going to be opportunities to get in and make some good buys and hopefully make some good cash, right? And so, you know, maybe even think of the bumps as something that is for your benefit if you could take advantage of it.
Yeah, I would say, you know, buckling your seat means try your best not to sell off losing investments. I know people can get frantic, people can get scared, but really try to hold on to those investments and ride those out. And then on the flip side of that, buy more of what you already really like holding on to. So if you really like holding on to certain companies, when they go on sale, buy more. And so that's really what that speaks to.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you can never have too many black dresses or whatever your thing is.
Yeah,
right. Hats, you name it, right?
Yeah,
when they go on sale, you buy them. So, right. You know, use that same strategy and build yourself some wealth. Well, Cassandra, to kind of close out this wonderful chat, I really want to encourage all of the females listening and really anybody listening. You know, when it comes to investing, when it comes to building wealth, when it comes to breaking these generational financial curses that might be there, that we can do this. Like, we can build wealth no matter what, no matter where we came from, whatever situation we're in. So I'm wondering if you give us just a little, you know, like pep talk or a little inspiration to close out here for how we can really embrace this idea of fearless finances and, you know, make this year our best yet.
Yeah, I like to say you are going to be the best thing to ever happen to your money. And so if you take that and really embody it, no one's going to take care of your money the way that you are. And so use this year to really educate yourself, get into great communities, put your money team in place. And if you do that, fear won't even become a part of your vocabulary when you're talking about money. And so I just employ you to do those things, and you'll be on your way, no doubt.
This conversation really had me thinking about these generational financial curses that exist in my own family and how those show up in my money decisions I make. I don't know, something about everything Cassandra was saying just made me do this deep dive, and I really uncovered a lot of stuff. So I encourage you to ask questions and really get to know your family's money stories. As Cassandra says, it will teach you a lot about how you do money. It's pretty eye-opening. You can follow Cassandra on Instagram and Facebook at Stocks and Stilettos, and you can pick up a copy of her book everywhere books are sold, or to head right to our website, befearlessfinances.com, to buy the book. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone right now who also might need to, you know, break some of these generational financial curses. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest, as well as the sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you right back here, my friend, in a few days for a brand new episode.